And let's read in the Holy Scriptures from the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 from verse 1 through to verse 20. So the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2 as we read of that first and glorious Christmas, the gift that God has given to us. Luke chapter 2 from verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And may God bless the reading of his glorious word. Our text this morning is found in chapter we read from, Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Rejoice and be glad. Christmas morning is here, when the remembrance that God's love is shown to us in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. And these shepherds were the first to be told that God had sent his Son into the world. They were told by the angels, "Glory to God in the highest, on peace, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." And they said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see what God has done." They believed and so they went. And what do we find when we go to Bethlehem? Because this morning I want us to go, as it were, to Bethlehem with them, to see what they saw, to know what they knew. We see, first of all, a gift. A great thing to have on Christmas morning, a gift. We see then the grace of God, what's behind the gift. And when we open the gift, we see the glory of God. So this Christmas morning, we are opening, as it were, a Christmas present, the gift, the grace behind it, and the glory that is inside of it. So first, the gift, God's gift to man, is the child in the manger. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour. And this wasn't, it shouldn't have been a surprise, because long ago, speaking to the prophet Isaiah, God had announced that there would be, that the virgin would be with child, and that she would give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he had announced again through Isaiah that wonderful word, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A son who gives himself, and one who is a child who is born, but also a son who's given. That's to say, before he was born, before he was conceived, yet he existed as the Son of God from eternity. And he comes as a gift for us. There is born to you, unto us a child is born. The birth of a king, the birth of a saviour, means nothing unless he's our king, our saviour. And so many people, I fear, this Christmas time are talking about the birth of a child, the birth of Jesus, but he's not their saviour. He's not their king. It's rather like an announcement that in a far-off place something has happened. Now, this past year, the king of Thailand died, and there's a new king of Thailand. And that's really important if you're living in Thailand. But we're not living in Thailand, and it's not all that important to us. He's not our king. But it is of great importance when your king is born. Think about the excitement little Prince George brought. A future king born. But how much more this king, Jesus Christ, who was named Jesus because he would save his people. And he's born, well, as the old carol put it, unto us a child is born, king of all creation. He's for us. And it's God giving, not just something that he's made, but giving himself. Because they call Jesus Emmanuel, because he's God with us. God doesn't just give something valuable. He gives himself. After all, God is the creator of all things. There's nothing that is made that he has not made. There's nothing that doesn't belong to him. And yet his power is such that if he gives anything he's made, he can make another one. But he gives himself, the most valuable thing that he could give, the Son of God and God the Son. The Bible says, what in a wonderful text, God is love. And what is the essence of love if it's not self-giving? The one who loves gives himself or gives herself to the one who is loved. If there's no self-giving, it's not really love. It's a form of narcissism, which is actually, of course, turned in on itself. But God is not turned in on himself. God is love. And he always was love. The Bible tells us, and we can't understand it. You know, if you can fit your mind around God, it means your mind is bigger than God. And you can't do that because our mind is not bigger than God. But the Bible tells us there is one God who has always existed in three persons. Which I don't understand that. It's God. Are we supposed to be able to fully understand God? We can't, because he is greater than we are. But we can know him. That's a wonderful thing, you see. There are so many people in the world who are philosophers and theologians, and they're putting all this effort, all this mental effort into trying to understand God, but they don't know God. But because of Jesus Christ, we can know God. God gives himself. And again, the world has a pretty messed up idea of God, that it's about power. You see this sometimes if you watch certain kinds of movies or TV programs. You have a character who thinks he's a god, and he's all about getting power to himself and exercising power over other people. And you know, in the popular movies and TV series, if you've got a character who thinks they're a god, they must be evil because they're cruel and destructive. But that's not what God is like. The true God, God is love. He gives himself. He comes to us not in his own nature, because he is so glorious. We couldn't approach his own nature. He comes to us as a child. He comes to us as one we can approach, even as the shepherds could come to Bethlehem and they could see him lying in a manger. They could see God. There is the gift of God's Son and God the Son. And then there is the grace behind it. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? Now, we tend to have a sort of idea that we need to please God, and that God is about us trying to please him. You look at the world's religions, and what do they major on? They major on trying to please God. You know, the Chinese Empire had behind it what was called philosophy that had been come up with by ancient Chinese called the divine mandate. And the idea was, as long as the emperor is pleasing the gods, he's fine, he should be emperor. But if the emperor displeases the gods, then anyone who likes can overthrow him and replace him. And so the emperor was supposed to be spending all his time trying to please the gods. That's how man thinks about God, that I've got to earn his favour. And again, the Chinese have this idea of the divine mandate. The emperor would carry out all these ceremonies in the Forbidden City in Beijing, trying to earn the favour of the gods. And if the harvests were fine, if the rivers flooded on time, everything was well. And it meant that we'd earned the favour of the gods. But you see, the thing is that man cannot earn the favour of the true God. Because even if we do well, it's just what God has asked for in the first place. But the thing is, we don't do well. If God were like Santa Claus, looking at us and saying, as Santa Claus is supposed to, who's been good and who's been bad? We'd all get a lump of coal for Christmas and nothing more. Because it's not about who has been good and who has been bad. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. We are none of us good people. We don't live up to God's standards. As I've often said in the open air preaching, we don't live up to our own standards, do we? And yet people sometimes seem to imagine that we can live up to God's standards even if we don't live up to our own. God's standards are, of course, a great deal stricter than ours. But here's the marvellous thing, you see. The gift is a gift of God's grace. Grace, it's a very simple word really. It means favour that we don't deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve. But grace is getting what you don't deserve. We deserve, because there's more than grace, there's also mercy. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We don't get what we deserve, which is the punishment for the wrong that we've done, the punishment for our sins. We do get what we don't deserve, which is Jesus Christ born. As the Apostle Paul says, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons, that is, be adopted into God's family. I'll say a bit more about that text this evening, but for now, just to say, the reason it's adoption of sons is in the ancient world you adopted in order for inheritance. You didn't adopt because you wanted to give an orphan a family, a home. You adopted because you needed an inheritance, someone to inherit your property after you. Well, God doesn't need that, but God gives us an inheritance in Jesus Christ. It's grace that God comes to those who don't deserve anything from him, and he gives us himself. The love of God is shown in this. We know God as the judge. He's the judge of all the earth. And everybody has to give account to God in the end. But God is also, he's shown at Christmas, he's shown in the Lord Jesus Christ as the God of grace and mercy. Because Jesus Christ comes into the world as a saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And again, his name is called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, the people then, they thought in terms of salvation, they said, well, what do we need to be saved from? They were occupied by a foreign power, the Romans. And there were many who said, we need to be saved from the Romans. But God says, no, your problem isn't outside of you. We do that, don't we? We externalize our problems. We say, the problem is out there. If it wasn't for my circumstances, my background, or this, that, and the other, well, I wouldn't do the wrong that I do. But God says, no, the problem's in here. But the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we think, they all come from in here in the end. And the problem is sin, the wrong, the rebellion against God. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And we can't separate him as a person from what he did. The grace of God is seen in this, in Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. He shows us God's love. He shows us God's heart because he is God. And so whenever we see him, we see God at work. And then, as well as the grace, then we open the gift and we see the glory of God. It's a glorious gift, a glorious child who comes to us. Our God, God with us. Our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth contain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign, says the carol. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Think about that. Our God is so great and so marvelous and so wonderful that when King Solomon dedicated that massive temple in Jerusalem that's gleaming with gold, that costs so much to build, he said, Even the heaven of heavens can't contain you, O God, much less this house that I've built. And the claim then that we have, the true claim about this child born in Bethlehem, this is God. One of the old writers put it this way. He said, the one who holds the universe was held in Mary's arms. Now that's mind-blowing. That's something, again, we can't understand it. But God with us, our God contracted to a span incomprehensibly made man. And we see his glory, the Word, the eternal Son of God was made flesh, the Apostle John said. There was John. We don't know where he wrote his gospel, but there was John. And he was thinking back about things that had happened many, many years before. And a man he knew many, many years before, a man he still knew, Jesus. And he remembered walking by the Sea of Galilee with that man, and walking the streets of Jerusalem with that man. And he said, the Word was made flesh, and we, his friends, his disciples, the people he called to and said, follow me, we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There was nothing false in him. There was nothing ungracious in him. There was God walking by Galilee. God walking in the streets. And when he was born, there was God in the dark streets, the streets of Bethlehem. In thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, we sing. And indeed, the everlasting light came down to Bethlehem, was born, and he was laid in the manger. God with us, God of glory and God of grace. And that glory, again, it's not the glory of power being used. It's what King Herod, who's the villain in the Christmas story, that's what King Herod thought power was and glory was. It's using your power. But the glory in Jesus Christ is God's love with us. One who doesn't come in force and majesty and might, but as a child, and who came to dwell among us. And these shepherds, these ordinary working men in their ordinary working clothes, were told, you can go to this child who came for us. And his glory is a glory that he shares. He came down to earth from heaven, that we might be made the children of God, that we might live with him in glory, that we might share his glory, that we might not be condemned with the world, but saved, as the carol puts it, and our eyes at last shall see him, as if we are his, through his own redeeming love. For that child, so dear and gentle, is our Lord in heaven above, and he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. Not in that poor lowly stable, with the oxen standing by, we shall see him, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high, when like stars his children crowned, all in white, shall wait around. He comes from glory to bring many sons, many children to glory, so that we may share his glory, being saved from our sins by his work, by his cross, so that we might be redeemed from all unrighteousness and share his glory. So let us go then to Bethlehem. Let us see and receive God's gift of himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us marvel at God's wonderful grace to us, giving us what we don't deserve. And let us rejoice in God's glory revealed in that child of Bethlehem and in the hope of glory that is Christ in us. And may God bless us this Christmas with that glory, that hope of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.